just outside the temple wall, you will find some ruins of a place called the Pool of Bethesda. And when you, well, really, there, it is called Bethsaida, and this pool started out as one with the Greeks when they went to Rome. It was a place that rich people gathered. And I'll show you a few pictures, a few more pictures in a minute, but this place became such a famous place, they had to add another pool. And they had five columns, porches, to cover the pools. The pools were filled by a spring that ran all the time. And the rich people, even the priests, would go down and just lay by the pool. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, it's hot a lot. They would stay by the pool, and only the rich people went there. It was not called Bethesda then. That was not the name of it. It was renamed many, many, many years later when the spring stopped working. And it turned into a place just for poor, sick, terribly sick, wounded people. With it being hot under a roof with no spring and no motion in the water, guess what happened to the water? Stagnated. It was no longer nice. It was no longer refreshing. None of the rich people went there anymore. And the poor, sick, invalid, blind, and scripture says maimed, people without limbs, would go there and stay because ever so often there were seemed to be a stirring of the water. And if you have an NIV, you will notice about verse 4, I think it is, of John chapter 5, that verse is not there, it's down in the notes, because in the oldest manuscripts and the most reliable manuscripts, the verse 4 that says an angel came down and stirred it up is not in the original manuscript. But because the scribes put it there, it's been left. But there were so many great minerals, like the Dead Sea, that was in the pool. If there was any stirring at all, everybody thought it was an angel, so they would try to get to the pool first, and it would make them feel better. Everybody say, make them feel better. There were no out-and-out miracles ever recorded there. But it was a belief that you could get better if you went to this place. But it smelled. Nobody wanted to go there because it was only a place for the poorest of the poor. They had no income. The state had to take care of them, or the Jewish synagogues had to care for them. Nothing. Suddenly, one day, Jesus goes there because John chapter 5 says there was a feast in Jerusalem, and there were just a couple of feasts that the men had to go to Jerusalem to be a part of. And in John chapter 5, it doesn't say the disciples were with Jesus. He was by himself. Now, if you've walked toward, if you've ever been there and walked down by the temple wall toward the pool, a lot of people miss this little plaque that's on the wall as you walk toward the pool. There's a plaque beside a door that goes into a small room, and it says, this was the residence of Jesus' grandparents. It's believed that Jesus went to Jerusalem and he went down toward the pool and he visited his grandparents. And as he comes out, rather than turning right and going back to the temple, he turns left and goes down to the pool. And he looks at, the scripture says that there was a great, King James Version says, great multitude. Everybody say great multitude. Great multitude. Now, if there's a multitude, you don't have to say great, because multitude means there's a lot. But the word great in the Greek literally means they were almost stacked on top of one another. And of all these people that are at the pool, Jesus picks out one man. Now listen, about how old was Jesus when he died? 33, about 33 to 36 years old. Jesus sees this man laying on a mat. And he has been there for how many years? You know the story. 38. So the man had been laying there longer than Jesus had been alive. He was an older gentleman. Jesus picks him out. Listen. Jesus walks up. Can you imagine? There are so many people there, you can't walk between them. So Jesus, listen, steps over other sick people. Oh, there, Pastor, that proves it's not God's will to heal everybody. You're right, because not everybody is getting ready to be willing to do what this guy does. He steps over him and he says, do you want to be well? Can you imagine everybody around him said, what a stupid question to ask a guy that's been laying here for 38 years. Do you want to get well? But that word well means, do you want your life back? It doesn't just mean, do you want to walk again? It means, are you ready to get up and go work? Are you ready to assume responsibility for your life? Are you listening? Are you ready to stop blaming everybody else for what's happened to you? Are you ready to stop blaming everybody else because you don't have enough? This is good preaching. Wow. And when Jesus says, do you want to get well? The first word out of this man's mouth is sir. It is translated in the Greek the same word that says Lord, Master, my God. Not just sir as in talking to an older gentleman or an important person, but he said, sir, as in Lord. In other words, when he says Lord, the connotation was, whatever you say, I'll do. I'm about to run seats. It's stinking. It's hot. It's crowded. Jesus says, do you want to get well? And he says, sir, I have no man to help me. And then he goes off on this thing about how everybody gets in front of him and how he can't get down there. Have you ever asked somebody a question and they go into this long thing that has nothing to do with the answer that you're wanting? And they just go, there's this long thing, and this guy, he goes on. And finally, Jesus said, get up. Watch this. When the translators translated this, they played this down because it sounds a little rough. The original Greek says, Jesus yelled at him. People are going, yell at that poor man. He's been laying here 38 years. Don't yell at him. Jesus interrupted his personal sob story and said, get up, take your mat, and go home. Thank you, five people. The man did not say, I can't, because he had never had anybody tell him, get up. Do you know what gave Jesus the right to tell him to get up? The moment he said, sir. That's all Jesus needed, was because that word literally meant, I will do whatever you say. See, the reason some of us haven't received from the Heavenly Father is we haven't yet really said to him, sir, I'll do whatever you say. I'll do. The man gets up, he shuts up. He gets up, takes up his mat, and heads out. Jesus doesn't stay around to heal one other person. Do you know why? Because there wasn't anybody else ready to say, Lord. There are some folks that will never be helped because they'll never make him Lord. This week, I was asking the Lord, Lord, what do I say to the people? What do you want? And I'm walking through the hall, and all of a sudden, the Lord said, John chapter 5. And at that moment, my biblical card was not working. I'm going, John 5? What? I picked up my electronic device, went to John 5, and when it opened, in red letters, it screamed at me, do you want to get well? And the Lord said, ask them that. Ask them, do you want your life to change? And I said, but Lord, I've been talking to these folks for 20 years. He said, don't you understand? I preach to the same folks. There were 15,000 people follow me. It wasn't a different crowd all the time. He said, they came, the same ones came. He said, I'm telling you, ask them, do you want to change your life? Amen. Whew. You know what he's waiting for? Sir, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. You tell me exactly what I do exact, and you know what he's saying? Get up. Stop laying around with everybody else. It stinks in here. It's crowded, and everybody else is just complaining. You need to get up and change your life. Say, I'm going to change my life. Good gracious. I shared that with my wife, and when I told her, I thought I was going to explode all over the house. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus has come down today, and he's saying, look, I want to change your life. Do you want to get well? Do you want to change your life? Do you want things to change for you? Do you want it to change in your family? Do you want it to change on your job? Do you want it to change in your finances? Do you want it to change? But you don't understand, Dr. Burrell. I really have a lot of problems. I'm not physically sick, but if I could just get my thinking fixed. Well, let me tell you, there are two groups of people that really need help in America. Those with any mental, oh my goodness, illness. And do you know what that is? Anxiety, depression, sadness, grief, feeling sorry for myself. Some have any mental illness. And ladies and gentlemen, when we let these things come and go in our lives, depression and anxiety and stress and anger, it just takes nothing to turn it on, and bam, just any, we call them AMI, any mental illness. This is what I realized, that 20.6% of the people in the United States experience mental illness in 2019 and 2020. In fact, it went up to about 26%. That means 51.5 million people. It represents one in every five adults. Five adults get together, one person can be depressed, can have an anxiety attack anytime. They feel sorry for themselves. They can just flip out. They can just decide one day, I don't want to work anymore. It's not a serious mental illness, but it is an illness. It keeps them home from their job. It keeps them from being a good family member. Keeps you from wanting to be around them. Somebody say amen. Because every time you get around them, they're like, how are you doing today? Well, let me tell you, I don't have anybody to help me. Nobody really cares. Do you want to get well? Yes, I'm screaming today and I don't care. Then there are folks that have serious mental illness. 5.2% of Americans, 13 million Americans, 1 in 20 have serious mental illness. And we've not even got yet, ladies and gentlemen, to heart disease, to diabetes, to arthritis, to headaches. We haven't even got to that. Those are just the things we can't see in people's lives. And people are all packed together. Their lives are being ruined. They can't do things because they're not well. And Jesus said today, ask them, do you want to stay at the pool, or do you want to get out of here and make things different for your life? Oh my goodness. Yeah, you can stay here if you want to. You can stay in this old pool that used to have a spring in it and talk about how this is where the rich people used to get, and this is where all the famous people get. Now it stinks, folks. There's nothing happening here. It's time to get up and get out. Say that with me. Get up and get out. But you don't understand. I am too old. I can't help it. It's just the way I am. No, Jesus said today on the 13th of June, do you want to change your life? Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm getting older and certain things happen. Jesus said, do you want to change your life? The man had been laying there longer than Jesus had been alive. And he thought he's going to be there the rest of his life. Why was he there? To get in the pool? Oh, he would have loved to. But nobody was going to help them because everybody else that was there, they're going to get their relative in there. Do you know why they wanted him in there? I'm tired of bringing you food. I'm tired of bringing you a change of clothes. I'm just tired of this. And my Lord, if I can stick you in some water and Jesus is showing up and saying, I'm here, do you want to get well? You don't need a little funny story or a little superstitious story or a little magical story. Oh, if you just rub this on you, you feel better. Jesus is saying, if you just call me Lord, I'll make your life well. Man, I want you to stand. I want to ask you, do you want to change your life or do you like it just like it is? I'm asking you. He said, ask you. Do you want to get well? I can't do anything for you until you answer him. And I just have news for you. Don't go into a long stretch about all the stuff you've been through in your life. Just say, sir, whatever you say, I'm ready. Do you know what will happen? You won't have anything to talk about anymore. Except I was sick, but now I'm well. I was broke, but now I can make a living for myself. Are you hearing me? I'm able now. Oh my goodness. Am I helping anybody? Do you? Some of you have family members you need to say this to. When they start off, oh, I don't have anybody, you know, I've just been here so long. Do you want to get well? Yes. Well, then what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the Lord and you're going to start moving around. You're going to start changing some things. I'm not going to do things for you anymore. Oh, that's cold. No, it's not. Oh, man. Miss Tabitha, your husband said he's been pulling his arm out of the sling, doing some things around the house. I want you to tell me that sanctified thing you've been telling him about. If he hurts that arm again, what's going to happen? What did she say?
She'll break the other one.
She said it in love. Recovery is okay, but being silly is not okay. Jesus is telling us today, I want to make your life what? Better. Do you know what? Jesus left him. Look at John 5. Jesus left him. The Bible says he suddenly left the crowd. Later, Jesus walks up to the man. He sees him in the temple. Praise God, at least the guy went to church. Jesus sees him in the temple and says, oh, by the way, stop sinning or something worse will happen to you. Whoa. In other words, You need to get in line with God's word, or you'll be right back down there. See, Jesus doesn't heal you for you to go play games. He doesn't heal you for you to go around and just do happy little things you want to do. He wants to heal you so you can be about whose business? The Father's business. Wow. Is there anybody here that has something in their life? Hey, I had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I know there are some things that you want to change in my life, and I'm here right now. Do you want to get well? Sir, whatever you say. Maybe you don't know Jesus as Lord. Maybe you don't know him like I know him. You can know him right now. Maybe there's been stuff going on in your life that just really has hurt you. It's broken your heart. You can either stay by that stinking pool where everybody else is, or you can get up and leave. You may leave by yourself. But you need to leave. Well, what about them? Well, let me tell you about them. Remember what Jesus said to Simon Peter when Simon Peter said, well, what about John? Jesus said, what's it to you? You need to get up and go do your thing and forget it. Go do what he says. I want you to come in just a minute. Now, come on right now. Come on. I want you to come and I want to pray for all of you. I don't want to stay by a stinking pool anymore. Oh, that's a healing pool. No, it wasn't a healing pool. It was a stinking pool. Well, I know why I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with, because the Lord is it's my thorn in the flesh, like Paul's. Well, aren't you pompous? Do you know why Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh? To keep him from being lifted up, because God had revealed so many things to him that he couldn't tell everybody all the things God had revealed to him. So I have a question for you. If you have a thorn in the flesh, has God shown you so many powerful, deep, mighty, wonderful things that you might get proud if you start telling folks what God's really showed you? Or are you just using the thorn in the flesh as an excuse to blame it on God? It's quiet in this Pentecostal church. Today, he wants to change your life. Look this way before we pray. He wants to change your life. If, everybody say if, you want it changed. If you like it is, no problem. Jesus will tell those that will get up to get up, and they will, and the rest will just keep laying there. Do you want to get up? He's going to change your life. He's going to change your life. You got to get away from that stinking pool. Yeah, but it was a great place one time. Was, never helped anybody. Get out of there. Yeah, but you know, my grandmama was there. It stinks. Yeah, but my great-great-granddad, it stinks. Jesus doesn't. All it takes is a word. All it takes. Bow your heads. Father, you said to ask them, do you want to be well? Do you want to have your life changed? And in my spirit, I hear them saying, sir, tell me exactly what to do. And I thank you, Father, that beginning today, you're going to tell them exactly what to do. Just like Jesus went back to the man and he said, don't sin anymore, lest a worse thing happen to you. That may not be the message to each of us. There may be something else you need to tell us. But if we want our lives to change, we've got to get up and go to you and go to your house, go to your word, go to the place of prayer. Say, Father, I thank you that you're changing my life. I'm not blaming anybody for where I am, what I'm doing. I don't blame anybody for anything. I thank you, Father. Whether I'm young, old, middle age, I thank you, Father. You're changing my life today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Tell him, thank you, Father, for changing my life. Thank you right now for changing my life. I have to get up. And I have to go. And you're going to find me busy about your business. Not just having a good time and enjoying stuff, but about your business in the name of Jesus. Tell him that in your own way. Jesus, I will be about your business. I will do what you say. I'll be involved where you say, how you say, in the name of Jesus. And I receive my wellness today. My mind is well, my body well. My house is well. I thank you. My relationships are well. I thank you, Heavenly Father. My finances get well. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. When you speak to me, I won't go into all the reasons I can't. I will just do what you say in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Are you glad you came today? This is not a Sunday morning sermon. This is a question the Lord has posed to you, and you're going to deal with it for the rest of the week. It's going to go over in your mind. Do you want to change your life? Do you want to get well? Do you want to be better? This is not just a one-time thing here today. You got to work it. Listen to it. Listen to him. Get in his word.
Thank you for joining our service today. If you'd like to donate, we have many ways for you to give. You can text Zion and the amount to 73256. Visit us online at zionca.org or send by mail to Zion Christian Assembly, 258 Beartooth Parkway, Suite 130, Dawsonville, Georgia, 30534. For more resources and information on our church, visit zionca.org.